All right, folks, this is Rabble Rousing Rich Bergeron.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Tornado Tony Hollywood Pennycal.
And Psychic Combat. Crystal Ball shined up.
All right, we're going to make some predictions this week, I guess.
Yeah. All right, prediction is I'm going to the fight this weekend.
Well, Tony's not going to sing Baby Got Back for us tonight, but he did the other night. Did a pretty good job.
How did I do on that, by the way? I mean,
that was good.
Did I look like I had stage presence?
Yeah, that was good. Funny.
Yes. Well, when do you not look like you have a stage presence? Now, what kind of a question was that? Come on.
Well, one time I went to an Eagles game, and they won, but I still don't have any stage presence. In fact, I was very low key. And people say, well, why were you so low key in an Eagles playoff game? I said, well, it was 102.8 degree fever.
Yeah, that's never good. All right, well, we're going to get right into the MMA this week. We started with boxing last week, so we got a lot of stuff to talk about. We got two big events, one recap and one a preview. And then we'll get into the boxing stuff. We had a big UFC event, obviously, over the weekend. UFC Fight Night 128, Kevin Lee versus Edson Barboza. And Kevin Lee did to Edson Barboza over the course of five rounds what Khabib did over the course of three, but he ended up with a TKO instead of a unanimous decision. Poor Barboza just got his head beat in, literally. Over the five rounds.
Ugly fight. Ugly fight.
And he had his moments, but it just really was not pretty, like Tom said, very ugly.
And he had one moment, and that was that spin kick that almost finished Lee off.
Yeah, Lee was wobbled for a minute. And I didn't actually see the fifth round. I fell asleep right before the beginning of the fifth round, so I was kind of glad because Edson was getting pretty badly beaten by that point. And I did not see him
And I understand the doctors have to do what they have to do.
Yeah, it was a doctor's
damn
stoppage.
It. I mean, it had went that long. I think we had about a minute left. What the hell? Let him go out in his feet.
And Frankie Edgar beat up Cub Swanson just enough. We get a unanimous decision there in the co-main event. So he's looking good. Cub didn't look too bad, just got outclassed pretty much. Frankie looked good for being so fresh off the tough fight there.
Cub just seems awful gun-shy. I don't know if it was, Frankie can do that to people.
Yeah,
that lateral movement. He's so quick and in and out and hard to hit. And maybe Cub just thought, well, I'm going to be hitting air. But, I wish he would have, got after a little more, but he didn't.
There's a big psychological edge there when you've beaten somebody already. So I think that was
absolutely, Rich. I mean, whether that's in boxing or whether that's in mixed martial arts, especially in any type of combat sport, when you beat somebody that first time, and especially if you beat them convincingly, that will get in their head.
Yeah. And that's so true. I mean, talk about that mental stuff all the time, and it's so important.
And speaking of ugly fights, Justin Willis versus Chase Sherman was pretty ugly, but Justin got a unanimous decision win there. And it was a big, sloppy heavyweight fight.
Chase Sherman should not have thrown a head kick. I think that cost him the second round. When you weigh 240 pounds, those head kicks come awful slow sometimes.
Yeah.
And that was just another slop fest. Ugly, sloppy.
There was a former guest of ours that could pull it off, but not too many other people.
What was
his name? I forget. But we had the guy on that did like a cartwheel kick and knocked the dude out. A wheel kick.
Well, you remember Junior Dos Santos pulled that off.
Yeah.
But it's very, very difficult for those guys.
Let's see, David Branch got a big knockout over Thiago Santos. That was pretty, with a nice set of punches, 2 minutes and 30 seconds into the fight. And then the guy that got inducted into the Hall of Fame, Matt Serra, got to see his prized pupil, Aljamain Sterling, get a big win over Brett Johns. That was a unanimous decision. Nothing special there, but Aljamain showed a couple cracks in his defense. He just didn't let it get to him, so he got the win. Dan Hooker beat out Jim Miller with a vicious knockout knee 3 minutes into the first.
Did he throw any left hooks?
There was some hooks. Hooker had some hooks, I believe, but not a lot.
Yeah, and then he called out the announcer. How about that? Philadelphia guy, Paul Felder, called him out right there.
Oh yeah, that was interesting because, you know, Paul Felder, he's a UFC fighter, but he's doing the Joe Rogan role of getting into the ring and interviewing the fighters, and he actually said to the dude, "I want to fight you," as he's being interviewed by the guy, and he's in his weight class, and he's being serious, and so Paul was actually pretty impressed, and he's like, you know, I've been waiting for somebody to call me out, and you got the guts to do it, so we're going to talk to Dana White, and we're going to make it happen. That was funny. I don't think we've ever seen that. We also had Ryan LaFlair getting a big win over Alex Garcia, unanimous decision there. Ricky Simon beat Mirab Dvalishvili by technical submission, guillotine choke. And this one was very controversial. Ricky Simon, I guess is how you pronounce it. But here's a situation where I've actually seen this in action, but a little bit differently. So Dvalishvili was probably going to win on the scorecards. He was fighting like a madman. Simon got a guillotine choke on him, and he was flailing and could have been deemed involuntary. But anyway, he was basically out on the mat after the third round was over. So they declared it a TKO by technical submission, or submission, basically. They declared him out cold at the end of the fight. So they gave the win to Ricky Simon instead of going to the scorecards. But it was very controversial because, you know, the guy might not have known that if he got up, it would have been a different story. But, you know, he laid on the mat trying to recover.
The medical staff told him to stay down.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about New York and New Jersey. It just seems like well, New York especially, but now I guess Jersey's in that. There has to be controversy. No stool game.
Oh, of course.
But, I mean, he was kicking.
Philly's not like that.
He was fighting that submission, and I actually saw Bruce Buffer get into a huge argument with Mark Goddard outside the cage, and they actually showed it on the camera, which was surprising. You know, usually if shit hits the fan, you're pretty much going to try to keep it secret from the public, but man, they were screaming at each other. And basically the point was he was out. That's what they were trying to say. The referee was trying to say he was out. Even though he was doing those kicks, that was an involuntary behavior, supposedly. I don't believe it. I think the Russian guy was deserving.
No, I didn't see it that way at all. I think it was a disgrace, but what are you doing?
I think it deserved to go to the scorecards, and they definitely got to give that Russian guy another shot for sure. But we also had Sayar Bahadurzadeh beating Luan Chagas by a kick to the body, followed up by a punch in the second round. That was an interesting one. 2 minutes and 40 seconds into that one. Corey Anderson got the best of Patrick Cummins by unanimous decision in the second fight of the night, and Tony Martin beat Kita Nakamura by unanimous decision. So that's
Rich, did you see that Cummins fight?
I did not. I think I saw flashes of it, actually. Not the whole thing. But we got Bellator 198 coming up on April 28th. I guess that's what, Friday, this Friday?
Saturday
they're doing, because the UFC is not doing anything this week. Fedor Emelianenko versus Frank Mir. This is part of their heavyweight tournament. This will be Fedor's second fight with Bellator. The first one was the infamous double knockdown with Matt Mitrione. And he could end up facing Matt again after Matt got through his first round fight. But Fedor's got to beat Frank Mir, and as Tom was saying before the show, Frank has been wanting this fight for over a decade now. So this is going to be an interesting one. Tom, you're going to have to really work on your crystal ball skills to predict this one. I'm going to guess Frank Mir is probably fought the better talent in recent years, but Fedor has the better overall talent record of who he's fought, so I don't know. He's just it's tough. Both of them are coming off layoffs, so they're good opponents for each other. But I just think Fedor has a better shot at it.
It's not a matter of what's happened in the past. It's like who has the most left.
Right.
And I think Mir has a slight edge in that sense. So that's my prediction. I'm sticking to it.
All right.
Sure,
well, then
I wouldn't have said that 10 years ago, but I will now.
I'm going to go with the Russians are going to rig it, and Fedor is going to win.
Okay, let's see.
Unanimous
game
decision.
Game on, my brother. Game on.
They're going to hack the judges' scorecards. And
Fedor. The name for that. What's going to happen? What are they going to do? They're going to, an FBI investigation, and Facebook will get involved on it.
Fedor. I actually like Fedor by straight right knockout. Straight right hand. I think it's coming back. I think Frank's going to fall victim to it, and it's going to be Fedor's biggest win of his career, and then he's going to get knocked out by Mitrione again in the next round.
that first fight with Mitrione, that was a Three Stooges thing.
It was.
A double knockdown. I mean, you'd see that on the Stooges.
Yeah.
It's such an amazing thing. Just boom, two guys falling.
I think he'd be better prepared for Mir this time, and I think Mir, judging on his recent performances, is going to come in probably in better shape than usual, but not in good enough shape for a war, and I think there's going to be a war that Emelianenko is going to win. But you're taking Mir, so we'll see. We'll have to do a 10 push-up bet or something.
There you go. Okay, yeah, that's it. Tony, you heard it. 10 push-ups.
I did hear it. You know what? Rich is being smart now on his desk because after he had to send me all that
lobster.
But to me, I don't care because I'm such a Fedor fan. I mean, I got to meet him once, and it just the fascinating experience. You know, when I shook hands, I was going to say, "Wow, your hand's flesh, really." But I just worked out. Just gave him a little polite bow. Good luck in your next fight. He was fighting Mark Coleman, and Coleman got to talk to Coleman about him too. But yeah, I'm a fan of both. So whatever happens, happens.
All right. Co-main event, not too big of names, but Emmanuel Sanchez, 16-3, fighting Sam Cecilia from the UFC, ex-UFC fighter. He is 16-8. Then we got Neiman Gracie, undefeated at 7-0, fighting Javier Torres, who's 10-3.
Well, what is Neiman's fight style? Does it tether? What do you think?
I don't know. Gracie, probably Gracie Jiu-Jitsu.
You think, huh? Okay. Yeah. Just asking.
Then we got Gerald Harris, who's 25-5, fighting Rafael Lovato Jr., who's 7-0. Dylan Dennis making his debut, 0-0, fighting Kyle Walker, who's 2-3. I love it how they've got a picture of the guy making his debut, but the guy who's 2-3 has no picture.
Not good. Never a good sign. Never, ever a good sign.
Armando Cameron, also on the card, he's 4-3, fighting PJ Kajigas, who is 5-6. Daniel Stichgen, who's 12-5, fighting Mark Stoddard, 15-9. Eric Wisely, 28-9-1, fighting Morgan Sickinger, who is 20-10. Preliminary fights here, Matthew Paul, 1-2, fighting Brian Booth, who's 4-3. Nate Williams, 27-17. Fighting Joey Deal, who is 11-9. First fight of the night, Mike Budnick, 14-4, fighting Tom Schoaf, who's 8-3. Yeah, Henzo Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. That's Neiman Gracie's fighting background. All right, so
okay. Boxing.
Last week, we had some big fights last weekend. There's a couple from Germany here worth mentioning. Let's see. If I can find it again. Where did it go? Tom Schwartz, 20-0. Got a big win over Sanad Gashi, who falls to 16-1. It's for a German heavyweight title and a WBO Intercontinental heavyweight title. We also had heavyweights Agit Kabayel, 17-0, goes to 18-0 over Miljan Rovkanin, who falls to 19-2 there. I know there were some much bigger fights. Over in Poland, we had the big ones. Mateusz Masternak moves to 41 wins and 4 losses over a win over Yuri Kajembre Kalenga. Falls to 23-5. And then the big one, Thomas Adamek. Moves to 53-5 with a win over Joey Abel, who is now 34-10. And that was for the Republic of Poland International.
How did that fight play out? Because I said I didn't really get to follow anything over the weekend. Was it a TKO or does it today?
I'm not sure, but I will try to find out right here. Let's see what else we had. Carl Frampton also got one of the biggest wins of his career over in the United Kingdom with a win over Nonito Donaire for the interim World Boxing Organization World Featherweight title. He improves to 25-1. Donaire falls to 38-5.
I think that was a good step up for Frampton right there. I mean, Frampton's a very good fighter. You know, he's got some good wins on his resume. And Donaire is a fighter, while very talented, who does happen to be on the downside of his career. So this is the fight, you know, with guys moving in opposite directions, where you have to go there and you have to, you know, step up and do the job.
Right. By the way, Joey Abel got TKO'd. It does not say the round here on BoxRec, but, you know, I'm sure it was that type
of
fight.
I'm going to log it for right now. I'm going to see if I, see what it says, if it,
I'm sure it had to have been that type of fight where it was toe-to-toe because Abel knew that if it was going to the scorecards, he wasn't going to get the nod.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So. And Joey, as a good fighter as he is very one-dimensional. He can come at you, so it's like either you're going to take him out or he's going to take you out.
All right, and in the Frampton card in the United Kingdom, in Ireland there, we also had a decent co-main event at Bantamweight. Youth beat experience Zolani Teat, 26-3, moves to 27 wins. Got the win over Omar Andres Narvaez, who falls to 48-3-2. Great fight there. And then we had the big card in Brooklyn, New York. No, I'm not talking about the Evander Holyfield card, because that was the small card in New York. But Javonta Davis in the main event, super featherweight, got a win over Jesus, the Jesus fight of the week last week. Jesus Marcelo Andres Queller falls to 28-3. Javonta stays undefeated, moves to 20-0. He's been in talks about MMA, going to the UFC. He wants to fight in the UFC, but he's also now moving up into the world title picture. So,
this you know, the one thing I know Mayweather wants this, and I don't know why Mayweather wants this for one of his fighters, unless Tank has pissed him off for some reason. But he wants Davis to step up and, you know, take on Lomachenko. You know, because that's the guy that's going to bring, you know, a lot of money to the table. But at the same time, that's a guy that can make you look really, really, really bad.
Right. And I believe this one was a TKO. Jermall Charlo beating Hugo Centeno Jr., who falls to 26-2.
Yeah, I think that was relatively a mismatch.
Jermall goes to 27 wins there. And I didn't read a lot about it, but yeah, it was a knockout for the interim World Boxing Council middleweight title.
You know what? And our good friend, the Iceman, John Scully, and I'm going to get to another Iceman in a little bit that I think you guys are going to want to put on your radar. But Iceman John Scully made a great Facebook point the other day, and Iceman is one of my favorite guys to talk to in boxing, whether we've interviewed him a couple times or just reading his stuff on Facebook and, you know, conversing back and forth with him. Because he's a guy, he's so knowledgeable, so well-versed, and such a great personality. But he came out there and goes, what is the interim? What is that basically bullshit? He's like, this is what's wrong with boxing. He goes, you know who your WBA middleweight champion is? Gennady Golovkin. End of story. None of this interim bullshit, you know? You want the WBA middleweight champion? You gotta be Gennady Golovkin. That's the end of it. And he's right. He is right. Tom, you know, even 20 years ago, and much less 50, 60 years ago, if you wanted to be the middleweight champion, and I'm not talking about WBA, WBC, IBF, WBO, IBO, all of that, you wanted to be the middleweight champion, and you're back in around the mid-50s, and there's a guy named Sugar Ray Robinson there, what do you got to do?
Exactly. You beat the man, period.
Yeah.
There's no other man.
You don't go there and say, well, Sugar Ray Robinson is the super champion, so I'm going to fight for the regular championship. What the hell is that shit?
and you know, even in the 60s, we always knew that it was Muhammad Ali, and then when he was stripped, and then they had that eight-man tournament, and Smokin' Joe didn't get in it. So there was a brief division there, but then Smokin' Joe settled it. By knocking out Jimmy Ellis. And he left no doubt who the champ was. And then we had sanity, even through the 70s we had sanity. Mm-hmm. And until Ali, let's see, how'd that happen? We had Kenny Norton holding the WBC, he held the WBC version, and he never really won it. Yeah, it was
right.
If I remember right, and then Holmes defeated him, and then the WBA got like, and then everything just started going crazy.
Then with Holmes, then they created the IBF for whatever reason. So that's when you got to the triple titles, right there. I'm pulling up the results right now.
And then I remember Pat O'Grady, Sean O'Grady's dad, had the World Athletic Association title. Monty Masters was their heavyweight champ. There's some trivia for you.
Wow.
The WAA didn't last too long.
Anyway, getting back to the big Brooklyn card, one of the big fights on that card was a surprising result, a draw. Adrian Broner and Jesse Vargas. from what I read, a lot of experts had it pegged as an even draw, but it was actually a split decision draw, and from the official judges. But Adrian goes to 33-3-1. Vargas goes to 28-2-1. So they both got their first draw. And I believe it was Vargas that won the first six rounds, and then Broner turned it on for the latter part of the fight. But from what I hear, it was pretty technical.
I pulled up BoxRec as well, and I logged in, so I'm going to get some more, conclusive results on there. So it says, go back to the Gervonta Tank Davis fight over, as Rich would say, Jesus, Marcelo, Andres Cuellar. The four names didn't help him because he was down once in round two, twice in round three. It was a TKO in round three. Jermall Charlo was a second round knockout over Hugo Santana Jr. And then Broner Vargas was, as they said, a majority draw.
All right. So you're supposed to say Jesus could not rise from the dead.
Jesus could not.
he could only get up a few times.
I actually channeled my inner you the other day. and I was cracking a joke with a friend of mine online. We were talking. She had attended our event last week as well, and she was mad because she had just left right before my singing performance. And I was like, well, I had to do the singing near the end of the night because I didn't want it to turn into a karaoke event. And then she was saying something, I'm like, yeah, I said, actually, my one friend was trying to pretend like he was a Catholic school chaperone during the final dance, because at one point he walked up to me and he goes, yo, I want to see some space in between you two. And she put a comment, like, because both of us go into Catholic school, she was like, quote-unquote, save some room, or save some room for Jesus. Right? So I responded with, I don't remember there being any Hispanics there.
Jesus. Yeah, that's fine.
This is, again, why I'm not allowed out in public unsupervised.
Yeah. It was good. Good pictures, and it's obviously the flashiest person there. For damn
sure. Well, I don't know. I mean, my friend had the sequin gold tuxedo jacket, which he conveniently borrowed from me.
Anyway.
And the DJ, in that one picture, when he's sitting at the table and we're both standing next to him, he is standing straight up during that picture.
Short guy, huh?
Yeah, well, his name is DJ Shorty Rocky, 4 feet tall.
Getting back to boxing. Veins Martirosyan, I think we talked about this briefly last week. He has been selected as the official opponent for Gennady Golovkin. Comes in at 37-0-1 for his May 5th fight here. Veins, his last opponent was Arislandi Lara, who he lost to by unanimous decision. I believe this is one I was at, if I was still there, 2016? No, maybe I wasn't there. Still. At the Cosmopolitan, though, a place I'm very familiar with. I have seen Arislandi Lara fight there, but I don't believe it was that fight. But Ishe Smith was before that. He got a big win there. Lost to Jermell Charlo before that by unanimous decision. Then he fought poor Willie Nelson, the old guy at Foxwoods.
No,
the younger Willie Nelson, 23-1. He got a win there in Foxwoods back in 2014. And lost to Demetrius Andrade as well. So basically, he's lost to two undefeated fighters and a very talented Arislandi Lara with two losses. Those are his last three losses. He had one draw, and everything else is wins. So he just keeps stepping it up.
Fine, you know, former Olympian and everything. I mean, I just think this is not going to be easy for him, you know?
No.
I mean, he's got a tall task in front of him here. Just taking a quick look. You know, you got Gennady Golovkin, who actually is coming off two straight decisions. A very close decision over Danny Jacobs, which he only won by combination on three cards of 7 points. And then you had the draw with Canelo Alvarez that a lot of people thought he should have been credited with the victory. But you're looking at a guy here now. He's 37-0-1, take that one with a grain of salt, 33 knockouts. Before those last two fights, you were looking at a guy that was 35 or 36-0 with 33 knockouts. So, I mean, he's a guy that can do a lot of damage with his fists. Very heavy-handed. And if you go back and watch a lot of his fights, I mean, there are times like he's blown guys out of there, and there's times where he's punished guys. I mean, you go back, you look at the Kell Brook fight. He punished Kell Brook. You go back, you look at the David Lemieux fight. He punished David Lemieux.
Curtis Stevens.
I mean, Curtis Stevens knocked him about 3 feet in the air. Gabe Rosado, he punished him. Martin Murray, I mean, these were guys
that was awful.
Oh, the Martin Murray one was, I mean, knocked him down twice in the fourth, once in the tenth, stopped him in the 11th, but he punished him. You know, he's had guys he's blown out, like, you know, Daniel Gill in 3 rounds and Dominic Waite in 2 rounds. But a lot of these fights are mid to late round stoppages where he just grinds you. Heavy hands, heavy jab. Everything is heavy. It almost, in a way, reminds me of a Marciano, where it's like every punch he puts on your torso is inflicted to hurt you. It might not knock you out, but believe me, when it's over and you're like, oh my God, yeah, he hit me here, and you're pointing at every welt on your body. Now, when you go back to Veins Martirosyan, as you said, a very talented fighter, and you're looking at a guy that's never been stopped. 36-3-1, 21 knockouts, not a great puncher, but, you know, nobody that you can, you know, just drop your hands on either. And you know, he's never been dead, or he's never been knocked out, never been stopped.
Yep. And before we get to this weekend's upcoming fights in the boxing arena, we have to talk about Amir Khan's knockout of our former guest, poor Phil LaGreco. Got dropped 15 seconds into the first fight on ESPN Plus, their new streaming service. Gets dropped with a flurry after that and got called off. That was it. But he improves to 32-4 with 20 knockouts. And this was at a catchweight of 150 pounds, but he's on his way back down to welterweight. And one guy that he's not going to fight anytime soon is going to be Keith Thurman, because he just relinquished his WBC title today. And
the interesting thing I heard is now it's going to set up Danny Garcia versus Sean Porter, right. Which there was some bad blood after Garcia's last fight in Vegas recently. They were in there jawing at each other. Well, now it's put up or shut up time.
There you go.
And the belt's on the line.
And there you go. So, this weekend in Germany, we have a big fight. Arthur Abraham back in action, fighting for the vacant WBO. Not the interim, but the vacant WBO International Super Middleweight title. Arthur is 46-6, fighting Patrick Nielsen, who's 29-2. And another Adamek is in the co-main event. Thomas Adamek, the other Thomas Adamek, who is 26-15-2. Fighting Leon Bunn, who's undefeated at 8-0.
Well, what's his last name again?
Which one?
Leon?
Leon Bunn, B-U-N-N. Bunn.
So, now, if I was being like a sarcastic announcer and he was doing bad, I'd call him Leon Man Bunn.
Oh, boy.
When you get a chance, I mean, I also want to discuss the fight card in Philadelphia this weekend that looks to be pretty impressive.
Sure. Tell us what we got.
Well, the City of Brotherly Love is going to have a live show at the Temple Leah Chorus Center where they're trying to get some good fights on. This is going to be an afternoon ESPN card with not a single, not a double, but a triple. That's three, Rich.
Mm-hmm.
Main event.
Nice.
I'm pulling up right now because I want to look. They got really some good names. I remember when we said earlier, John Scully, the Iceman, and I said there's another Iceman that I want to discuss.
Right.
There's a young kid out of Philadelphia. I haven't got to see him fight live yet. I've only seen some of them. He's 19 or 20. He may have just turned 20. He goes by the name of Christian the Iceman Carto, C-A-R-T-O.
Right.
And he's fighting on this card. And I'm going to, as soon as it comes up, I'm going to give you his exact logistics on there. Waiting for it. Okay, maybe if I hit go, that'll bring it up.
All right, while you're waiting, we're going to do the Jesus fight of the week. Two-fight card here in Mexico. Jesus Galicia. He is 16-10-1, fighting Rodrigo Guerrero. And where else but Pueblo, Mexico. Guerrero is 26-6-2. And then the co-main event is a female fight with a girl, Mariana Juarez. Get this, her record is 48-9-4, which is just unbelievable for a female fighter. Fighting Carolina Arias, who is 14-2. And those are the only two fights on that card. That's not, if you're in Mexico, you know, if you just happen to be strolling through.
So what we got on this Philadelphia card, and I'm going to break down some of the names on this as well. I'm going to start with Christian Cardo. He is a bantamweight, 126-pounder. He is 14-0 with 11 knockouts. His last three fights have gone the distance. He was 11-0 with 11 knockouts prior to that. But the last three fighters he's fought, combined record of 33-5. So not bad for a young kid. And on these fights, he's won every round on every card, but one round on one card. That's not too bad. Eight round. So you figure, out of 72 scored rounds, basically, times three judges, 24 rounds times three judges, he has won 71 of them. Not too bad, right? He actually just turned 21. I didn't even know he was 21 yet, but he turned 21 back in December. I've seen clips of him, and, I mean, his one fight, he hit the guy with about five or six straight uppercuts and finally lifted him off the ground, which was, you know, pretty damn impressive. So we got young up-and-coming kid on the card. Now we also have Shakur Stevenson, the former Olympian, who 20-year-old kid who is 5-0, two knockouts, good, quick-fisted fighter, not a lot of power from I remember seeing him. Then let's break on to a couple of the bigger fights we got. The triple main event. First, we're going to go to the heavyweights, the big boys. We have Bryant Bye-Bye Jennings, who has fought for the heavyweight championship of the world against Vladimir Klitschko a couple years ago. Lost a tough 12-round decision. Then he also has a stoppage loss against King Kong, the Cuban fighter that just got stopped. Luis Ortiz, King Kong Ortiz, stopped Bryant Jennings. Bryant is fighting a former guest of ours, heavyweight in Joey Dueco. Joey, if you look at him, he is a guy that just doesn't look like, you know, he's got a boxer's physique. He's only about 5'10". He weighs about 235, 240. Big, thick-chested guy. His last fight, he weighed 242. Big, thick-chested guy. Not the longest arms in the world. But Joey was an accomplished amateur fighter, and he actually, you know, is a very good boxer. He had trained with Buddy McGirt for a while, and then he's recently been training at the Wildcard Gym with Freddie Roach. And, you know, not the greatest record in the world, 19-4-4, but he's got 11 knockouts. Tough, durable guy. I've got to see him fight a few times. And he was a highly talented amateur fighter. Then you got Bryan Jennings, who's 22-2, and he's got 13 knockouts. And he's definitely going to have the height and reach over Joey. But how much does he have left after that devastating knockout loss? Your second main event is the World Boxing Organization Super Bantamweight title between Jesse Magdaleno, who's 25-0 with 18 knockouts. He is fighting a guy by the name of Isaac Dogbo. Just put an N in there, it would be Isaac Dogbone. Who's 18-0 with 12 knockouts. So, Rich, this is the what fight?
Somebody's O's got to go.
Somebody's O has got to go. Dogbo is from Accra, Ghana, and we know they usually produce pretty tough fighters. Cough, cough, Azuma Nelson, Ike Bertay, you know, among others. And then the third main event is local Philadelphia fighter Jesse Hardwork Hart. He has come back with a vengeance after his last defeat, his first defeat to Gilberto Ramirez for the WBO super middleweight title. Hart had gotten knocked down in round two. He looked like he was in bad shape. He got up, went the distance, and he lost, you know, unanimous decision, but 115-112, 114-113, 115-112. That knockdown really hurt him in that fight because he was really out of it for a round or two. He came back in February against a guy named Thomas Awimbano, who had never been down in his career. He took him out with a single uppercut in the first round. So now he's fighting a guy by the name of Damon Nicholson. So you got Jesse Hart, 23-1 with 19 knockouts. Nicholson is 18-2-1 with 17 knockouts. So, you know, definitely a guy here that has no problem taking guys out. So name for a couple years was Salvatore Sincere. And he'd come out there like, oh, I'm supposed to be like this smooth-talking guy, but he was really like, supposed to be like no good, kind of a shyster and all that, you know, kind of a backstabber and everything, but trying to play like he's just a nicer guy. And like I said, after that gimmick went a few years, didn't really, you know, go over that great. He was wrestling, it was the WWF under his real name, sporadically, real name being Tom Brandy. Tom Brandy is originally from Norristown, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't expect you guys to know where Norristown, Pennsylvania is, but that's where my godson lives. That is where that schmuck in the other sequin tuxedo lives. That's where my tree lot is.
Nice.
So I am well familiar with Norristown, and Tom Brandy and I became Facebook friends a couple years ago. And he, well, depending on who you heard it from, either bought a gimmick from a retired wrestler or stole a gimmick from a retired wrestler and got sued. I don't know the truth, so I'm not going to elaborate on it, but he took a gimmick over called The Patriot. The Patriot was portrayed by a guy named Del Welks back in the 90s. This guy, Tom Brandy, took the gimmick over, and he wrestles on the independent circuit. He's got the red, white, and blue mask on, and he wears, like the trunks with the flag on him and everything, and he carries a flag to the ring and all that, and he's the all-American guy, and so on and so forth. Well, I go to this event the other night at a friend's bakery, same bakery where I got the cannolis for my prom proposal, and they were having an event with a young up-and-coming player for the Philadelphia Phillies, and you had to win to be involved. And when I went there to enter, the owner of the bakery looked at me and goes, "No, you're in. You don't even have to enter. Show up in costume."
Mm-hmm.
No problem. So I show up in costume, and doing security that night was a good friend of the owner of the bakery, Tom Brandy the wrestler. Tom Brandy, who wrestled in WWF pay-per-views, looks over at me and says, "Hi, Tony." Because he recognized me from Facebook, right? So we're bullshitting, and we take a photo and all that, and you see the light bulb come on in his head. Because he still wrestles local independent shows as the Patriot. He goes, "Yo, would you ever be willing to come to one of the independent shows and escort me to the ring and be in my corner?"
Nice.
What do you think I said?
Yes.
I said, "You tell me when and where."
That's cool.
And the one girl I work with, who I will never let be my agent ever, because when I was doing the Rocky filming a few weeks ago, Creed 2, she's like, "How much are you paying them to do this?" I said, "I'm getting paid." She's like, "You would do this for free. In fact, you would pay them." I said, "Well, let's not let that leak out." Then she goes, "Okay, with the wrestling thing, knowing I'm a big wrestling fan," she goes, "I don't know if I'd get paid for this. I really don't care, you know, because I really don't even want this." But she goes, "Oh, if I'm your agent, you're getting charged for this." Because I'd be out there saying, "Oh yeah, he'll pay to do this."
Yeah, right? That's not a very good agent at all.
A terrible agent. I'm going to have Tom behind
me. Tom will take care of your money.
There you go.
Anyway, before I forget, there's also a Fox USA, Fox TV card on Saturday from El Paso, Texas. Main event there, welterweights Josecito Lopez, 35-7, against undefeated Miguel Cruz, coming in at 17-0. We got super middleweights in the co-main event, Anthony Durrell, 31-1-1, fighting Abraham Han, who is 26-3-1, and if that's not enough, we got two more decent ones. Jorge Lara, 29-0-2, fighting Claudio Marrero, who is 22-2. And then we got super featherweights Erickson Lubin, 18-1, fighting Oscar Cortez, who's 26-3. That's a great card for Fox. So going down on Saturday night, and that's about it. I did mention briefly there's a big number with Deontay Wilder. He's offered Joshua $50 million.
How many?
Bare minimum. $50 million.
That's a lot of millions.
And that's also with 50% of the event revenue, meaning that Joshua would make no less than that figure no matter how much the fight generates. And if the fight generated more than $100 million, Joshua would make even more. And if it lost money, the Wilder side would be on the hook to pay Joshua.
Wow.
$50 million. So we'll see.
A lot of money.
Make it happen, people.
Yeah, make it happen. You know what? Back in the day, fights happened. Fighters fight.
All right.
Got too much of a more, you know?
Tony's channeling his inner John Scully.
I really am. Yeah, I really am.
All right, Tornado, slow your roll. We got to wind it down now. Got to unravel the tornado.
Unravel me. Right. Don't unravel my brain because you won't find anything.
Right. All right, till next week, guys. That's going to be it for us. Thanks for stopping by.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for being so flexible.
Yeah.
Rich, you're going to get mad at me when I say this, but I got to go to an event tomorrow night, and Mr. Trophy, a.k.a. Lombardi, will be there, and I want to get my picture with him.
Oh, no, I'm not mad at all. It's great. I mean, I wish I could have done a lot of that when the Patriots won all their Super Bowls, but I was like, obviously all this shit has to happen when I'm not living anywhere near Boston, right?
Why would it?
I mean, it didn't happen all those years when I was in high school, 20 minutes away from Boston, no.
Exactly, right?
Had to happen later. So I never got to participate in any of the parades or any of that stuff, so it's good. It's good to get the opportunity to do that. Got to take it while you get it.
Absolutely, because I would have said, like, well, when I was in high school, you know, I didn't get to do this, but when I was in high school, we had literally one team go to a World Series, and they lost. Everything else, the team sucked. When I was in college, most of the teams sucked. You know, we had one team make it to a finals and get swept. You know, we went 25 years without shit in this town. So we went literally, for me, age 6 to age 32 without jack shit. And then I missed that parade, so I had to wait another 10 years to go to one.
Yeah, I never got to see the Red Sox trophy either when they won it a couple times. And I did, though, one time I was right outside one of the major train stations in right downtown Boston, and I go across the street, and on the corner was some fancy restaurant, and out pops from an executive car one of the owners of the Red Sox, and I was like eye to eye with him for a minute. Almost wanted to shake his hand and say good job with the Red Sox, but it looked like he was in a rush. But he didn't have any security. I was surprised. Well, I guess that's Boston. I'm not going to assault the owner of the team.
No, we don't want to do that. Well, right. Thank you again. And I guess we'll talk next week.
Yes, sir.
All right, guys.
Catch us on the fight.
Adios.
All right.